Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development, the hastiest, the craziest, the tastiest web development treats. Coming in hot, here is Wes, Barracuda, Boss, and Scott, El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Ooh, welcome to Syntex. On this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be talking all about what it takes and some of the pitfalls, the classic pitfalls of moving from PHP to Node, two very popular server-side languages. And I'm sure this is something that a lot of you have done at some point, and a lot of you may be doing again in the future, or perhaps you are doing this currently. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I'm a developer from Denver, Colorado. With me, as always, is Wes Boss.
Hey, everybody. I'm excited to talk about this. I think it's kind of a cool episode. I even asked on Twitter, like, if you had learned Node after PHP. And this is not to say that you should move from PHP to Node, but this is just, I know there are a handful of people who have made that switch. And it's a pretty big, like, paradigm, I think, a big paradigm switch. And there's a lot of, like, gotchas and things that you maybe didn't totally understand. So we're going to attempt to detail what all of those are. And even if you are a Node developer, there might be a couple of clarifications for what this beast of Node is.
Yes, absolutely. And today's episode is sponsored by a company that will aid you very, very well in your transition to learning anything new, because obviously if you're going from PHP to Node, you're going to be making a ton of mistakes. So you'll want something to capture all those mistakes and tell you what you're making in case there's anything in production. And of course, I'm talking about Sentry. And you're going to want to head over to Sentry at sentry.io. And you're going to want to subscribe using the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word. You're going to get 2 months for free. I want to talk a little bit about briefly. I have successfully used Sentry to squash that bug that I was talking about. It was very, very difficult. But luckily, Sentry really gave me a complete understanding of the things I needed to have. So here's a little background. I had this bug that was coming about, and it was happening intermittently, maybe about 10 users or so. We knew the exact qualifications for this bug to happen. But we could not reproduce it ourselves, and it was driving us absolutely bonkers. Because we couldn't reproduce it, it was sort of like shooting in the dark. That said, because I had Sentry here, it was like a little flashlight on the top of my helmet, allowing me to navigate the cave of this bug. And it really, really helped us out so much so that we were able to finally solve it. So thank you very much for Sentry for making my life that much better. So head on over to sentry.io, sign up today, check it out. One of my very favorite tools and essential part of my workflow in general. So PHP, I think this might be real the first time that we've spent some time talking about PHP for any extended point of time outside of WordPress on this show. So I'm interested to get into it a little bit. It has been a decent amount of time since I've written PHP code at this point, which is not saying anything about PHP specifically, just that that's where my head's been at, you know?
Yeah.
And I was never the best PHP developer outside of any of these other frameworks, Drupal or WordPress. So I'm really interested in some of these things and some understandings about moving from PHP to Node and what some pitfalls that people generally have.
Yeah, so the first one we have here is that servers need to be started and babysat and restarted when the app crashes. So this is kind of not true, but generally when people are using PHP, it comes along with Nginx or Apache. It comes with the server. And then if something breaks, like one of your scripts goes awry and it doesn't work, you can just refresh the page or the next person that goes to that URL is not going to see the server falling over. But with Node, if something crashes, if your Node process quits, that's it. You have to actually start your server over again. And that's why people use things like I personally use Forever. And most recently, I've switched over to PM2. And what that will do is it will watch your process. And if anything breaks, it will try to restart the process for you.
Yeah, which is definitely one of those things that people hit very early on the first time they have a crash. And they're just sort of like, wait, what? Especially on a live server, you got to get into those things almost immediately when you're learning web development with Node. And it's not something I had ever personally thought of with PHP. So the next one is, you know, PHP has been established for so long that some of the tools that are sort of just, you know, ubiquitous or they come along with it. maybe it's Apache or Nginx or something like that, but there is no file system based routing built in. So you can't just go ahead and visit the like an index file or something in your browser. You have to build the route yourself. You have to tell the request what to do. And I remember this was like a big weird thing for me when I first picked up Node. I went to like a Node meetup and we spent the entire meetup just like outputting a hello world from an index.html. And I just remember thinking like, wait, why are people using this again? This is so much work or so weird. This is one of those things that we typically, many PHP frameworks, because that's really what you just went off of, just done for you and not something you had to ever have to think about, especially if you're using Apache Nginx, which you most likely were.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And for that reason, I think that's why PHP is so easy to get up and running, where you could just sling an index.js. And if you wanted to have a separate file that just did something, you could just throw that on your server. And that's its own sort of process. And when somebody hits that process, it's up and running. Whereas Node is a lot, I think it's the kind of overwhelming idea of this entire podcast is that Node is a lot less batteries included. You sort of have to bring everything yourself to Node, including a lot to the language, because JavaScript, the language, lacks what's called the standard lib. It doesn't come with a whole lot of stuff. Whereas conversely, PHP has this massive standard lib and you can get a lot done without ever having to reach for external dependencies. The other thing I also asked on Twitter, like what are some of the gotchas that came from switching from PHP to Node? Pete Tasker, he's at Pete Tasker, said Node is more building a server and PHP is working on a server. Same idea with learning Go. Also, PHP, you don't necessarily need to have a framework. With Node, you basically have to have Express or Happy or something like that to get anywhere half decent. I totally agree. Like we said, there's a lot less batteries included.
Yeah, another one that we had was the functional programming concepts within JavaScript in general are not something that you would typically dive into. You're probably doing like object-oriented PHP or something. Me personally, I didn't know necessarily because, you know, I come from a front-end world. So whenever I was doing PHP in general, it was so much of working within the confines of these different frameworks that have already existed, whether it's Magento or WordPress or Drupal, right? You're existing within their systems. You're not building it yourself. And then when I moved to Node and JavaScript for everything, even my JavaScript skills weren't exactly great when I first started. And one of the things that made me a better developer for both Node, but JavaScript in general, was learning functional programming. And even if I'm not doing strict hardcore functional programming all the time, I'm doing functional programming to an extent for just about every single thing I do, writing pure functions, using what's it called, immutability, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. These are concepts that I never even thought about once in PHP, and now it's become the key part of writing clean and good code for both not only my server side, but my front end code as well.
Next one we have here, and I would wager that this is probably the biggest sort of gotcha or the biggest hurdle moving from PHP, and that is that JavaScript is mostly asynchronous, whereas PHP is mostly synchronous.
Yes.
JavaScript doesn't have this concept of threads. And really quickly, threads in programming are sort of this idea of you go off and do a little bit of work and come back when it's done. And we kind of have that with like a web worker, but in general, JavaScript kind of just works that way with concurrency, meaning that if you were to set off a fetch request, we're not just going to sit there and wait for that fetch request to come back before the next line comes. It will just fire it off and then keep going with the rest of the lines. And then when the data comes back or a response comes back, then we actually deal with it with what's called a callback. And with PHP, everything is very synchronous, meaning it reads top to bottom. And if you do want to explicitly do something that is sort of asynchronous, you have to get into what are called threads. And that's probably true for a lot of languages where they don't have a sync await built in by default. So sort of getting over that mindset of everything is asynchronous in JavaScript is a bit of a hurdle, but I think now with async await that we have here, it's fairly simple to get up and running with that. The other thing that a lot of people said, and I found this myself, is that on PHP, everything gets cleaned up on each of the requests, meaning that you sort of just like when you hit a file or an endpoint or something in PHP, It sort of starts up a new process, and you can have variables and things like that. And then when the request is sent, all of that is cleaned up. With Node, you have the possibility of having global variables, or you can have state management, or you can have memory. That's kind of a weird thing with, I remember when I was first learning Express, I was using Passport.js, and all of my logged in users were stored in memory. And then when the process restarted, everyone got logged out, and I just couldn't figure that out. And I was like, oh, like in Node, you do have this ability to sort of like have these variables. And there is like sessions and things like that in PHP, but everything sort of gets cleaned up with PHP, whereas Node, you have to sort of think about that. And I've also run into many bugs when I was first learning Node, where I accidentally had shared a variable from one request to another, where that's kind of hard to do unless you explicitly do it in the PHP world. What other things? I'm just going to read these straight from Lenz Weber, which is PHRY, said multiple client requests exist in the same process. Hence, you bleed data over from one to another if you don't stick to the context object religiously. In PHP, you store so much personal data and services, and it's cleaned up on every request. So that's just another good way of explaining sort of what we went through. Other things about that is that the JavaScript event lifecycle is funny. We've talked about this before in, I think we did it on some of our stumped episodes, which like, you know how the JavaScript lifecycle is funky and sometimes you have to await a 0 second timeout in order to put something at the end of the lifecycle. That's just much simpler, I think, in PHP. So I think like, it's sort of like when learning React, there's a lot of gotchas that you sort of have to know when you do this stuff.
Yeah, it's like the price of entry to get into this. It's like you have to now pay the Node.js troll toll to, you know, get through some of these things. It's just each platform and each library or each anything is always going to have its own set of, here are things that you just got to work through at some point or hit on those transitions and maybe have a little bit of a stumbling here or there, but it'll make you a better developer.
Yeah. Last thing I have here is that dependencies are key in Node. When I was doing PHP, and I think this has changed since then, but when I was doing PHP, sometimes you would have to go off to GitHub and copy paste a wrapper or something like that. And I know that PHP has Composer and things like that for installing dependencies, but dependencies are a way of life in Node so much that it's almost become a meme that you have to install 4 gigs of stuff before you can even write a hello world in Node world.
Yeah, it's funny when Drupal moved over to Composer. I remember, I think a lot of people in the community were like, I don't necessarily get this, but like now if I was coming back to something like that now, it makes so much more sense in a different context now that I've worked in this type of environment where that kind of thing is much more normalized.
Mm-hmm. I still even remember doing like jQuery plugins and you just download the zip
and then you just put the script in your head tag. You just load it from a CDN. Who cares if that CDN goes down at some point?
I remember teaching, even this was even like 6 years ago, I remember teaching like jQuery plugins. And then people would have the hardest time being like, which of these 700 files in this GitHub repo do I actually need? And I'd be like, well, it depends. I don't know. It's different for every single one.
Good luck.
It's so much easier now. We just require the thing and call it a day.
Yeah, I know. It is so much easier and so much different in so many ways. I can't imagine. Like, I know people complain about the complexity of today, but come on. There's so many less complex things about today.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We should do a... I think we've talked about this before, but we should do it a show on like the olden. Have we even done that? Have we did that like the olden days?
I'm so sleep deprived right now. I could not tell you what we have done a show on because I am out of my mind.
Oh, man. I don't think we've done it, but we should do an episode on like the way things used to be for the young listeners. They can know how good they have it.
Get off my lawn episode.
Awesome. I think that's... Oh, one more thing I had here. JavaScript doesn't have keyed arrays, only based on index. That's just like maybe a programming thing where in PHP, you can have arrays that have keys, sort of like objects do in JavaScript, where you can say like, if I have like a person, square bracket, middle name, that could be an array where you reference the array's middle name property. Whereas in JavaScript, everything is index-based, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's it. Anything else you want to add there?
I don't, other than I'm happy I'm not working in PHP anymore for no reason other than I was just never very good at PHP. I think I probably could have been good at PHP, as you know, you learn and whatever. But for some reason, writing one, it's a lot easier for me to get better at one language, even if Node is very different from, you know, client side JavaScript. It's still one language. I don't worry about all those syntax little things that I got to remember. My brain is not cut out for that. So, yeah, I'm happy that I'm not writing PHP. But if you are writing PHP, that's cool. I'm sure it's changed a lot and improved a lot. Even as versions of PHP have grown, it's gotten much better. So not a hater on it. It's all good.
Yeah, Scott's being very careful now because he got roasted for saying nobody uses Java.
Yeah, I did get roasted for that. I also got roasted for saying anything about Tailwind. Just so, I'm just going to ride that line.
Oh, that's great. One thing I like about our community is that they actually are fairly respectful, and I don't feel like anything comes from like an angry place. I think most of it just comes from like, I actually really love this and I would love for you to love this as well, which is cool. If you have any thoughts on this, if you know both Node and PHP, if you learn Node after PHP, or maybe even the opposite way, tweet us at SyntaxFM. We'd love to hear what your sort of gotchas are, and we will retweet them. I was thinking, this is a total aside, Scott, but I thought I would just bring it up right now. We should make like a retweet machine where when people tweet us their like thoughts about an episode, it will like go into some sort of queue, and then like the audience can like upvote ones, and once they hit a certain threshold, they'll automatically get retweeted out. What do you think about that?
Dangerous and a lot of work.
Yeah. Couldn't be abused at all.
It could not be abused at all. Yes. But by all means, if you want to put that work in and you do not fear what could happen there, go ahead.
I think it would be a fun way to use like a queuing system or do like a Node app that uses streams, because Twitter has a streaming API instead of just like a request API. I think that would be pretty nifty. So maybe coming to a YouTube near you. All right, I think that's it. Anything else to add there, Scott?
I got nothing.
Cool. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.